Morning.
Morning.
If you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I was at the funeral home yesterday, and I run into a friend of mine from out at Dibrell yesterday, and I told him, his name's Jerry Foster. I don't know if any of y'all know him. Jerry spent 25, 30 some odd years out at Carrier until they finally closed down. But I told Jerry, I said, Jerry, I'm going to quote you before my sermon on Sunday morning. He said, you're kidding. And I said, no. I said, I remember sitting in a Bible class. Now, I don't know if it was Wednesday night or if it was Sunday morning. And he said, you said, I think we need more lessons about the family. Because after all, we all have families. You know, we all have parents, and we all have maybe siblings, and maybe we have spouses, and we have children and grandchildren and aunts and uncles. And you know, I kind of took that to heart, and from then on, I don't remember when it was at Dibrell, I tried to preach a sermon on some part of the family about every 2 months. Because he was right, we all have families. But that's not the reason that I'm going to talk about families this morning. I'm going to talk about families this morning because of my own. As Daryl mentioned, 25 years from Tuesday, I will have been married for, well, a long time. Let's put it that way. I told somebody, I said, we're going to have a special prayer service on Tuesday evening for Tracy. Maybe she'll be able to make a couple more years. But I can still remember the reaction of my family, my mom and my dad, and I've got two sisters and a little brother. They were just shocked. I was 32 years old before I met Tracy. I was 34 before I got married. And I think it was especially my sisters that were so pleased. Now, I'm not exactly sure why. I think in the back of their minds, they figured that they were, when they got older, going to have to take care of their old bachelor brother. And they were just glad that Tracy come along to take care of me. But I do remember 34 years ago, 2 days from now, what a joyous day that was. This morning, we're going to look at some bricks that build a marriage. And of course, we're going to use 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. To find out what those bricks are. And why are they called bricks? Well, let me give you a little story. I think it was Mother Goose, wasn't it? That talked about the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. And that first pig, he made that house made out of straw. And the big bad wolf, he huffed and he puffed and he blew it down. And the second pig, he built one out of lumber or out of wood. And the pig huffed and puffed and he blew it down. And that final little pig, he built his house out of brick or out of stone. I don't remember how exactly what it was. And he huffed and he puffed as hard as he could. Maybe got a hernia blowing so hard. He was not able to blow it down. And this morning our lesson is going to be about the bricks that build a marriage. And if those bricks are going to be strong and if they're going to be sure, those bricks have to come out of God's Word. Because if we're going to find out how to live the right way and how to be the right kind of people, and if we're going to have the right kind of relationship with one another, we have to go to God's Word. Now, first off, we're going to look at the bricks. First, we're going to see the bricks for a wife. Now, you got to... A home can't be any better than the people that make it up. You can't take a bunch of bad people and put them together and expect to have a good home. Now you can take a good man and a good woman and good children and put them together and you can have a good home. First, let's look at wives. And I want to look at the first 6 verses of what Peter wrote here. He said, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. The first thing that Peter mentions in this passage to wives is action. He says that wives can win their husbands without nagging, without arguing, without complaining, without disputing, without getting in a knockdown drag out. He said that she can save her husband simply by the way that she lives. You can't beat a demonstration into somebody. As an illustration of that, let me throw this out there. I imagine you became a Christian and you were baptized because you had seen someone else be baptized and you saw the benefit to that person, so you became a Christian, so you were baptized. And in this passage, Peter is saying to wives, you just need to live a lovely, simple, and quiet life before your husband so that maybe you can change him. Don't intimidate. Don't nag. Just love. Peter's saying, try to have the best home life you can so that when your husband comes home, he can bask in your radiance, so to speak, and so that there might be a chance that he is converted by the way that you live. Second, Peter mentions adornment. Now, adornment means the way that you decorate something. And here in this passage, the first thing that Peter says about adornment is that you need to decorate the inside, not decorate the outside. Now, there's nothing wrong with decorating yourself on the outside. You know, it's nice to have a pretty haircut and to make sure that you're always clean and to wear nice clothes and maybe put on some jewelry or some perfume if you have it. That's all very nice and all very well and good. And I imagine most men would rather come home to a pretty wife than a homely one. On the other hand, Peter says it's much more important to decorate yourself on the inside than it is to decorate yourself on the outside. You know, we turn on the TV set or we go to a movie or we even just go out in public and we see movie stars and actresses. And even these women, I thought about that this morning as I was watching the news, even these women that anchor the news, and they're always dressed to the nines. I never have understood what that meant. And you know, and they always look so good and they wear all this makeup and they wear these pretty dresses and what have you. And they look really good, but that's just on the outside. And if you take away the facelift and the makeup and the pretty dresses, I imagine they just look as kind of as ordinary as pretty near anybody. It's so much more important to take care of the inside than the outside. Somebody once said that a beautiful face is a blessing from birth, that a beautiful spirit or character is created during a lifetime. You know, it's important, I guess, if you're just thinking about getting married, to have a beautiful wedding. But a lot of people stop at the wedding when they talk about getting beautified. You need to take that beautiful wedding and bring it home and have a beautiful marriage, a beautiful husband and a beautiful wife. And then your children will grow up beautiful too. Again, I'm talking about beauty from the inside. Third, Peter mentions attitude. Now, it's kind of interesting because in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul kind of unloads on women. At least that's the way that some people think of it. They said, Peter said, Paul said, women are supposed to submit. And that's kind of against the way that our society believes today. You know, our society believes that we're all equal. I'm not saying that we're all equal. Not all equal. I'm saying that Paul said that a woman is supposed to submit and then gives a whole list of things after that that husbands are supposed to do. But here in this passage, you know, Peter said that Sarah was the right kind of wife and she called Abraham Lord. So it's kind of the same thing almost that Paul did in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, I think most women would appreciate it if their husband loved them enough so that they would be able to submit to them. Most husbands want a wife who is sweet and loving and kind and nice to come home to rather than somebody that wants to go another 15 rounds with you. you know, after you've done it the night before. What we need are more daughters of Sarah. Peter said that a wife's attitude has to be right. So those are three bricks just for women. Now let's look at husbands. In verse 7, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers might not be hindered. You know, it's kind of strange. Peter wrote 6 verses to women, but only this one verse to husbands. It's the opposite of what Paul did in Ephesians chapter 6. But we don't understand this, why Peter was saying so much to wives and so little to husbands. But it's because we didn't understand what the world of the first century was like. You know, relationships back then were way different. You know, a woman wouldn't, it would have been awfully hard for a woman to have won her husband by the way that she lived. Because that's just not the way that things were. Women were almost literally bought and sold in the first century. By bought, I mean that marriages were arranged, and he went out and he took his pick, or his parents did. And by sold, I mean if she didn't please him, he could drop her like a hot potato and pick up with number 2 or number 5 or number 10 or number 15. You know, it's amazing how horrible society was back during the first century. If a husband wanted to become a Christian, all he had to do was say to his wife, "Go get your things, we're going on down to the local church to get baptized." And what's more interesting is that a wife would actually become a Christian and be baptized without her husband's permission. So what Peter's saying here is that wives already have 2.5 strikes against them. And so he's trying to caution them. You've got to go about this in the right way. The only way that she could touch her husband was by a lovely influence seen at home. Peter also tells husbands to live with their wives. Now, I've already mentioned Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. And in that text, there's 3 verses to wives and 9 verses to husbands. It does say that wives are supposed to submit, but it also says that husbands are supposed to love their wives as much as themselves, as much as their own bodies, and as much as Jesus loved the church. And if we were to go into that last one, Jesus loved the church so much that he went to the cross and he died for her. Now, I personally, I'm not a woman, can't imagine that it would be hard to submit to a husband who loved me as much as Jesus loved the church and went to the cross to die for me. Now, of course, that doesn't sound real right, but you get my point of view. You know, it all kind of lays out real easy the way that Paul puts it there. It's kind of a shame the way that some households are in our day and age. I imagine you've heard the word henpecked. I can't imagine there have been a whole lot of happy henpecked husbands, and I can't imagine there have been a whole lot of happy henpeckers. When a husband lovingly leaves the home, then the wife is going to be secure in it. Peter said, live with your wives. He wasn't talking about going out and making a living. You know, there are a lot of men that get married to their wives and then immediately dive into a job and try and go out and make all the money that they can so that they can give their wife a nice house and nice stuff in the house, a nice car, put up some money in a bank account, get retirement, all that kind of stuff. When really, I think most women, most wives, would rather the husband come home and spend some time with them. Here we see a woman in our society, seemingly she has everything. She's got the prettiest house on the block. She's got a nice new car. She's got money in the bank. She spends money on herself hand and foot. But I think that some of these women that have all of those things would just as soon their husband come home from work at night and spend some time with her and also with their children. Next, Paul said, know your wives as the weaker vessel. When we date, we wear masks. I can remember being so nice to Tracy. I still do open the door for her every once in a while, but probably not as much as I used to. And we try to be as nice and as sweet. But you know, once they they got one of these on their fingers. You don't have to be so nice anymore. And so you start being a little bit less considerate and a little bit less thoughtful. You know, we kind of revert back to the way that we were. I mean, we've got what we want. I'm mainly talking to us fellas here. We got what we want. We got our trophy wife. Why do we have to be nice to her? A lot of men, they marry a wonderful woman and then treat her like I just said, and then they cry and whine. Oh, I married the wrong kind of woman. Why can't she be like I want her to be? Well, Peter's making the point here that you go home and be the sort of husband you need to be, and let her take care of being the sort of person that you want her to be. Number three, Peter says that husbands are supposed to honor their wives. Wouldn't it be nice if husbands tried to make their wives look good and wives tried to make their husbands look good? I remember hearing the story, this was not me, of a fella that went out and he bought his wife an anniversary card. And he sat down and he wrote these lines in it. He said, "Honey, I love you now, more now than I ever have. Even more than the day we married. And you're more beautiful now than you ever have been. And if me and Joe didn't have tickets to the baseball game, I'd take you out to dinner and a movie." Now, that's kind of funny, and I imagine even some of you ladies laughed at it. But sometimes we men don't have the consideration and thoughtfulness for our wives that we ought to. You know, it's important for us to love our wives. Never forget your wife's birthday. Never forget your anniversary. I don't think I've ever forgotten either one of them. But I'm not using myself as an example. I'm just saying, if you want to keep her married, if you want to honor her the way she deserves to be honored, then honor your wife in that way. According to what Peter said here, a husband is the main instrument in his wife's spiritual growth. Your partner's in the gift of life. And if you're the sort of husband you need to be, then your wife and your children are going to be secure and they're going to grow spiritually. Finally, we come down to the mortar. What holds it all together, verses 8 and 9. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." You got to have mortar. I've given you six bricks. You stack six bricks up on top of one another. Well, a good wind probably wouldn't knock them over, but a good strong wind with some rain behind it might do it. Or you might brush up against it with your knee and it'd fall over and it'd hurt your foot. You got to have some mortar or some cement or some concrete or even some liquid nails. You got to hold them together with something. And that's what Peter is saying here. What is the mortar that holds those bricks together? It's thoughtfulness. It's thinking about her. It's thinking about him and doing what's best for them. It's about gentleness. It's about concern. It's about love. It's about caring. You know, I don't imagine there have ever been any vows that were written that said, "I promise to be as mean to her as I ever could be." And I doubt there's been any vows written, "I promise to be as mean to him as I ever will be." But some people do act that way. And we don't need to act that way. We need to be thoughtful. We need to be gentle. We need to be tactful. We need to be willing to say, "Thank you." We need to be willing to say, "Please." And we need to be willing to say, "I'm sorry." And maybe this applies a little bit more to men than it does to women. You know, we're supposed to be in a relationship with that individual, our husband and our lives. We're supposed to love them as our own flesh. And if we love them as our own flesh, we're going to treat them the way that we want to be treated. I've been at five different churches full time. And I've been here for going on 3 years. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I imagine that there are some people here who wonder, how in the world can Tracy stay married to him? I doubt that anyone would think, how in the world could Bill stay married to Tracy because she's so sweet and gentle and beautiful and obviously patient. Well, you know, I might be wondering the same thing about you. But you know, I think the key to any marriage and what Peter teaches here is that we've got to take God's word and we've got to apply it to our lives. And we've got to apply it to our relationships. And we've got to love one another as if we wanted to be treated that way ourselves. But the greatest relationship that we can have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless you have Him as the foundation to lay those bricks on, your marriage is not going to work out very well. You're just kind of rolling the dice. With Jesus in the equation, in the relationship, you're almost guaranteed to have a happy relationship with your spouse. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to repent of your sins and make the good confession and put on Jesus in the waters of baptism, which means being immersed in water, which symbolizes His blood. If you need to come for that reason or for any other reason, for the prayers of the saints or for whatever, now is the time. Won't you come as we stand and sing?